It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I'm not sure if you saw ABC News or Nightline yesterday, but if you did, you've heard that Uganda is one of the most homophobic places in the world, and that one of the most homophobic preachers in the world is a man by the name of Dr. Martin Sempa. And we're going to find out, is that truth or fiction today on The Line of Fire? Because it so happens that we had planned to have Pastor Sempa with us on The Line of Fire today. We made those plans a couple weeks ago. It just works out that now the nation all the more is buzzing with this issue. Is Uganda putting forth what is called a kill the gays bill? Just a moment of the report from Nightline last night, and then we'll be talking directly with Ugandan Pastor Martin Sempa.
Homosexuality is prohibited here in Uganda. We don't want it.
An extraordinary wave of homophobia, which even includes a bill that would put some gays and lesbians to death. The bill is supported by one of the country's most popular pastors, Martin Sempa, who helped host that conference with the American evangelicals.
Africans unite against sodomy!
Hello!
And is a one-time friend of the American megachurch pastor Rick Warren.
I'm going to give evidence on what homosexuals do.
All right. That was aired last night on Nightline. We get to talk directly now to Ugandan Pastor Martin Sempa. Thanks, sir, for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for hosting me. We're glad to have this dialogue from Africa to America and back and forth.
All right. Now, our number is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I invited, with Pastor Sempa's explicit permission and encouragement, actually, those who have been openly criticizing his bill online. Some were either not available or simply chose not to come on the air. One of them emailed me and said, there's no confusion over what the bill says. Only a fool buys a box of rattlesnakes so as to get the one apple inside, etc. So this is just looked at as a box full of rattlesnakes. The bill is deadly, horrific. However, I've asked repeatedly for folks who criticize the bill, who feel that it's homophobic, unfair, destructive, to call in. Now, we could have on that list President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton, because they both attacked the bill at the recent National Prayer Breakfast. President Obama called the bill odious. So I want you to call in, 866-34-TRUTH. If folks don't call, I've got some very strong internet statements that I've told Pastor Sempa I will challenge him directly with as the show goes on. So now's the time to get in, because I'm not sure how many calls we want to take, but I want to hear from those who differ, who believe that Pastor Sempa is homophobic and that this is a destructive, ugly bill. So with that introduction, could you just let us know, before you came to international prominence in association with this bill, what you had been known for years in Uganda in terms of working with HIV/AIDS victims?
For the last 24 years, Dr. Brown, I have spent my time working to prevent the spread of HIV/AIDS amongst Ugandans. And I did lose my brother and my sister to HIV back in 1988. And soon after coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was really and continue to be heavily involved in programs that promote abstinence, that promote strengthening of marriages, because really the strengthening of the family and the resistance of sexual promiscuity is the way to bring down HIV. And Uganda has become a global success. In fact, I have been speaking in conferences all over the world, and people want the results of Uganda, but they just don't like the method of Uganda, which is sexual restraint and make families stronger.
Now, when you're talking about sexual restraint, etc., for the most part through the years, there was a focus on heterosexual promiscuity. Is that correct?
And yes, it is, and it continues to be, because primarily HIV/AIDS is spread by promiscuity. We defined the problem not as the absence of condoms, but the presence of promiscuity before marriage or within marriage. And when we targeted that with a campaign called Zero Grazing, encouraging young people to abstain, married people to be faithful, we ended up with the young people delaying the onset of sexual activity by at least 3 years, from 15 to 18. And then we began to see fidelity rising, people having less and less multiple sexual partners. Families became stronger. And today, Uganda is talked about as a global success in terms of fighting HIV/AIDS.
Now, I don't think most Americans realize the scope of what happened in Africa with AIDS. What was the devastation like? What numbers of people? Maybe you could talk about the population of your country and what actually happened with HIV/AIDS in Uganda.
Uganda is, right now, it's about 30 million people, but at the height of the epidemic, we had a problem, for example, amongst antenatal women were expecting babies, 30% were HIV/AIDS positive. They had, were infected with HIV. Looking at blood donation, you had a point where, again, similar high levels of HIV, 25 to 30%. But as that is in the middle of the 80s. But as the campaign began to come out, you begin to see a gradual drop of this. And this has been vindicated in some of the writings, such as Professor Ted Green of Harvard University in his book, Rethinking AIDS. President George W. Bush and his government adopted Uganda's method of ABC, abstain, be faithful, and the last part was condoms. Now, that has actually become a phenomenal success. Unfortunately, those who want to use promiscuity, HIV/AIDS to spread promiscuity, have hated our success, and they have tried to redefine us. So Uganda is now even battleground for policies on HIV/AIDS because we say strong families is less HIV, strong faith must be involved, but they don't want that.
Mm. Yeah, and in fact, the Pope was recently attacked and criticized for basically saying that condoms aren't the answer. And that there have to be other principles first. So something else that I think would be helpful for our listeners. I'm an American. I've traveled around the world, but I'm still an American. I still see three things through a certain lens. You've studied in America, but you're an African. What is different in the mentality, tribal, family mentality and thought in Uganda versus kind of the independent mentality of the West?
Well, just so you know, I was born raised in Africa, born raised in Uganda, East Africa, by Lake Victoria. I did go to school in Uganda. I did my bachelor's in sociology. I also did my master's of science in counseling. I got an honorary PhD in public service and public health due to my work in HIV/AIDS, which mm-hmm. was granted to me. Coming to the difference between Africa and America, this really is a global civilization clash. This is not an issue of two individuals or personalities. It's a clash of cultures. In Africa, homosexuality is seen as a taboo, an abomination, primarily because of four reasons. Number one, we see that it breaks the law of our culture. We have a long tradition from Ashanti, the Fulani, the Timbuktu, Ghana, Ethiopia. Even currently, the Kingdom of Buganda is 700 years old. Older than the American Republic. And in so doing, we have a strong clan system, we have a strong tribal system, where there is guidelines on what is right, what's wrong. So homosexuality, we've been told, breaks the laws of our ancestors. Secondly, homosexuality breaks the law of nature. Apparently, to us, we see that the male goes with female. Thirdly, homosexuality breaks the law of God. Most of us are Christian, whether Catholics or Anglicans or 16% of Muslims. So because of our faith traditions, homosexuality, it breaks the laws of our faith, as we see in the Bible and others in the Quran. Lastly, we have more than 50-year-old laws on the books that has a code of acts against the order of nature. So if you homosexuality simultaneously breaks four laws, the law of our ancestors, that's our culture, the law of faith, our God, the law of our nature as we perceive, and the law of the land, and also public health, because one of the hardest things in Africa today is that we see that homosexuals are 10 times more likely to have HIV than a normal person. So when you come and look at this, it's not someone's opinion. It's a clash. It's, just to summarize, that the Western human rights groups are saying homosexuality is a human right, but Africans are saying, no, it's a human vice. So it's the meeting between the two. We look at the same thing. We call it a vice. They call it a right. And this is the showdown, Uganda.
Got it. Hey, thank you for laying that out so clearly. We've got a break coming up. Again, I'm inviting all those who differ with Pastor Sempa, who believe he's lying, who believe he's homophobic, who believe this is an ugly, destructive bill. The phone lines are open if you want to call in. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to have as my guest Ugandan Pastor Martin Sempa, who is one of the leading figures behind what is being called the Kill the Gays Bill, a bill that has been called odious by President Obama, attacked by Secretary of State Clinton, other leaders around the world denouncing it. We want to find out the truth about it. You're welcome to call with your criticisms, or you're welcome to challenge Pastor Sempa. He doesn't mind if you call him a liar. If he's lying, let him repent. If he's telling the truth, then you repent for calling him a liar. Is that fair? Pastor Sempa, one of the things that's coming up a lot now is that there were American evangelicals came over to Uganda and sparked this outcry, this frenzy that homosexuals are child predators and are trying to take over the country. And because of that, Ugandans have reacted now in a frenzied way with this completely out of control bill. Is there any truth to that? Did people come over, have a conference? What actually happened?
First of all, the bill is not completely out of control. It is a very progressive bill that is very, it seeks to moderate both the protection of the society as well as give the punishment that is due for those who deserve it. So I will talk about that. However, coming back to the issue of American evangelicals who came over, I think that is completely misrepresented. It is spoken that there's about four people, including Dr. Scott Lively and others who came and held a conference on ex-gays, and that somehow may have sparked the coming of the bill. As a person who's been in Uganda for many years, that is completely misleading. It is intended to denigrate the American Christianity and to blame them. I find it personally racist. Why? Back in 1886, when the church in Uganda was very young, we had a problem of a king who was using his position to sexually molest young people who had become Christians, and they stood up against him. More than 48 of them did this. As a result of that, he ended up killing them. We call them the Uganda Martyrs. Now, this is 1886, when the church in Uganda was in its infancy. Cross that many, many years later, today we are dealing with an issue that is way bigger than a few evangelicals who came over. This has nothing to do with Rick Warren. This has nothing to do with Scott Lively and his group. Though they may have come and spoken about it, but it has to do with Africans showing self-determination, saying that, no, we must protect our family, and the government has a role to play, and they are, those people in parliament are making this bill. So I think seeking to credit this, to me, I personally have called it racist, that every time a black man wants to do something good, they must look for a white man to blame him for it. I think that Dr. Scott Lively is a good guy, and the others of Exodus, they're good people, but they really didn't have anything to do with this bill.
All right, now let's try to look at some of the specifics here, and I want to try to raise the charges as clearly as I can. And I'll read some of the specific charges, but here's a larger general question. If homosexual practice is already illegal in your country, and you already have laws against child rape, etc., why do you need this new bill?
I think, number one, about 2 years ago in November, France and Netherlands decided to go to United Nations and come up with a bill at UN that would force all nations of the world to embrace and legalize homosexuality. You can see then that the provocation does not start in Uganda. It starts at the UN. It starts by France and Netherlands and European Union that seek to force homosexuality down the throats of our people. So one of the articles that the bill intends to do is to make sure that declarations that are made elsewhere do not necessarily tie us as a people into the legitimation of what is illegal. Secondly, the law as it is right now does not take care of the promotion or the propaganda of spreading homosexuality. Yes, the law is there. It punishes homosexuality by 12 years in prison. And the unnatural acts are specifically codified. However, there is no provision for female homosexuality. It's only for male homosexuality. When it was written, I don't think they anticipated that this will be a problem of lesbianism. So the law needs to be gender balanced. The last part is, until recently, even as I can anticipate, until recently, the law of defilement has been protecting only the girl child. And when the boy who is below 18 was molested, it was called sexual assault. However, I am pleased to know just recently that that law was amended to include both the boy and the girl child. So nevertheless, there was a desire to give equal protection that is existing for the girl child as for the boy child. So in summary, there is gaps within the law. One, international declarations that are being made, which would force Uganda and us to legitimate the illegitimate. Secondly, there has been absence of protection for against female, that's lesbianism. It wasn't provided for. Number three, there was absence of protection for the boy child as far as the girl child was protected. And there is other areas, especially in promotion. If you have a law that says homosexuality is criminal, but you do not have a law in place that those who are promoting it, then you are creating room for those who are conspiring. Many organizations, George Soros is spending lots of his millions to bring it to Uganda. You have American homosexual groups that are flying in, that are powering millions of dollars under HIV, under human rights group, Human Rights Watch included, and these are using their position to spread homosexuality and to try and legitimate it. So the members of parliament saw this fit, and they came up with a draft, which is being discussed now.
All right. Now, we've got about 2 minutes before the break. I want to read a challenge to you from Jim Burroway on Box Turtle Bulletin. I've interacted with Jim Burroway at different times. We have deep differences, but I found him to be reasonable in our interaction. He's very upset with you, and he's calling you out. I publicly dare you to post the text of the bill on your own website and refer to it when you try to explain your lies. Failure to take this dare reveals your cowardice and guile. Your acceptance of this dare exposes you as a liar and a fool. What do you choose? Either way, with the entire world and your God as my witness, I call you out. Others have said, why will he not post the bill? He's lying about it. Why doesn't he want people to see it? We've got about 45 seconds before the break. Can you give me a credible answer?
The bill is available online on Uganda's parliament website, and what happens is that the parliament does not want the bill to be taken out because it gets re-edited. You can be able to access the bill on the parliament website.
But why don't you post it on your own website? Why don't you do that? Come on, you got all kinds of websites. The whole world has internet access.
Unfortunately, we've not had internet access until about 2 weeks ago. In fact, I am very pleased to tell you that for the first time, I have a blog that is going on in the last 2 weeks. You can check it out, martinsemper.blogspot.com. And I will be happy to draw it from the parliament and link it to my blog. I have not denying the bill. I'm not, even the quotes that he has, I am not denying they exist. That is not the issue.
All right. So listen, when we come back, we're going to get into more of the specifics, and we'll have a link to your blog spot. So it's as simple as the fact, not proper internet access, but you'll have a link up there because you'd like everyone to see the bill. All right. We'll be back, friends. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to have Pastor Martin Semper on the program today discussing what is called the Kill the Gays Bill in Uganda. Is it being misrepresented here in the West? Is it just a product of extreme homophobia? I have invited critics of the bill to come on the air with Pastor Semper. In fact, that was his desire, that, and I would just serve as a moderator and let both sides talk. One said he was unable, others firmly declined or simply didn't reply or said they weren't ready to do it. So it's my job to try to bring the challenge. If you don't think I'm doing it well enough, then call in and bring the challenge. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, Pastor Semper, thanks for taking the time to be on the air with us. Okay, let's get into some specifics about the bill. Again, I'm going to read charges from Jim Burraway. You're used to having people speak strongly against you, so I'm just going to read it, okay?
Okay.
Semper is too cowardly to post the text of the bill on any of his websites, and the truth is he can't, because if he did, those very words would show Semper's followers exactly what a compulsive liar he really is. He cannot post the bill. He desperately hopes that no one else reads it to learn what it actually says. So we just straighten out that issue about not posting it, that you'll have a link on the website, and that I know trying to email you for weeks, I'd never hear from you because of internet problems. So, I mean, we, in any case, here's the charge now. Part three of the bill, aggravated homosexuality. And then it gives a list of what that would mean, all right? And we're commonly being told by Ugandan Christian leaders that the issue is pedophiles, child rapists, or infecting someone with HIV knowingly, etc., or a handicapped person. So the question arises, and okay, well, what if it's just two men who are living together? They're not out recruiting children. They're not raping anyone. They're living together. They're having sexual relations. Are they serial offenders? Are they candidates for the death penalty?
All right. Thank you so much, Doctor. Just to respond, to put this into context, number one is I believe in three governments which God has put, the family, the church, and the state. And all those have the roles that they play. The family gives guidelines and trains the kids. The church preaches grace and the way things should go and affirms the right way. And the state makes laws and punishes lawbreakers. In this case, I am a preacher of grace, and I am the one who gives, I affirm when the truth is upheld. The state is making the laws. Just to clarify, I am not the parliament, and we do not make the law. The parliament makes the laws. Now, coming to where we agree and we disagree on this law is with Jim, there's a section on the law that is called aggravated homosexuality, which talks about an aggravated offense of homosexuality where the victims are, a victim is a person who's below 18, or the victim is a person with disability. That's A and E in that section. Jim focuses on who the offender is. A person could be living with HIV, a person who is a guardian, the abuse of authority. In Uganda's law, all other areas where the issue of aggravated defilement has come in, it has to do with what you understand with statutory rape. It has to do with the rape of minors. And so the punishment is stronger. The suggested punishment is the death penalty. Now, where Jim focuses on and others is on the offender, but I keep saying that the offender must have a victim to complete the picture. If you have an offender who is a person living with HIV, they have a victim. To summarize it all up, is I agree that, one, we've made recommendations that the death penalty is harsh. As pastors, we got together, we went over the bill, as Uganda Joint Christian Council, and we said, you know, the death penalty is too strong. We suggested that it will be reduced to 20 years with rehabilitation. Secondly, we...
Wait, I just want that clear. So your suggestion as pastors was that the death penalty, even for aggravated homosexuality, was too strong, and that you suggested 20-year imprisonment. So you're saying in the case of, say, a guardian abusing someone that he is responsible for, that it would have been the death penalty the way the law has been framed by the parliament, but pastors were suggesting that was too harsh?
Yes, yes. Actually, just so you know, this is a draft that has been given out, and I think Jim might have an issue in terms of the way the bill is written. It may mislead, where you they can come up and say, oh, you know, if you have HIV/AIDS, then you are guilty. But I'm in agreement with Jim and many others that, one, we do not want a harsh law. We want a law that is modest. And two, we have said that they should remove the death penalty. That is an input we've done as a legitimate group called the Uganda Joint Christian Council that represents the major denomination. Number two, we have said that this aspect of aggravated homosexuality should clearly be about statutory rape of minors and nothing else. So when Jim brings up the issues of if it's a person with HIV/AIDS, if it's a who has had homosexual sex twice, so you hear that we are going to, the government is suggesting to go knock on doors and drag people out. Really, that is not the spirit. I don't see that as a spirit. But even if that is what's out, we are against it. We think that there is more stronger and more important areas of this law than this aggravated defilement. I think clearly to me it is being misrepresented to try and discredit the bill. Mm. So in summary, A, we are against the death penalty. We are specifically seeking to understand that this section is about statutory rape of minors and those who have authority over minors and they abuse them.
All right. Well, I appreciate you making that clear and forthright. Just to change the subject, but to give a broader perspective, right now in Ugandan law, fornication, sex outside of marriage, is that actually against the law in Uganda?
If you have sex with a child below 18, whether a girl below 18 or a boy below 18, it's punishable up to life in prison. That is called defilement. Defilement it has to do with the age of consent. If mm-hmm. you have sex with a girl, and 60% of the people in prison are in there for what they call defilement. Mm. So that is quite key. And until just recently, we've had a law against adultery, which was unfortunately struck down 1 year ago because it wasn't very gender balanced, and they are reworking on it to making sure that it gives both equal punishment and responsibilities both on the man and the woman.
All right, so again, I raise those questions just so that people understand Ugandan culture a little better. All right, 30 seconds before the break, you're saying that you are not in favor of a witch hunt where you're going to try to find
them? Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think that people are, neither are we as ministers, we're against the witch hunt. We are for a law to be balanced between the compassion of providing opportunity for those who have been involved in it to be healed and treated, as well as the government having a strong law. I just want to let you know, in the history of Uganda for the last 50 years, we've had this law. We've had a law against homosexuality. No homosexual has ever been arrested or killed for homosexuality.
Got it. All right. Thank you, sir. We will be back. I've got a bunch more questions to ask Pastor Sempa. I appreciate his forthrightness. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown with my special guest, Ugandan Pastor Martin Sempa. Dr. Sempa has been one of the lead figures involved in what's known as the anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda, a bill that's been attacked by the President of the United States, other world leaders. And I'm quite clear that as we're asking a lot of these questions, we're getting a lot of answers that would surprise some of the critics. If you've missed the broadcast, please go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. The shows are up the same day. You can listen there. There's an online forum where you can add your discussion. And again, still keeping the phones open for those that want to attack and criticize the bill. We've invited them on the air. Either weren't able to come on or declined the invitation. So I'm doing my best to raise the issues. If you feel that I should be harder on Pastor Sempa, hey, you call in with your issues. Don't criticize me for not being a more harsh critic. I'm trying to get to the facts here. So Pastor Sempa, Let's bottom line this. You're now in an international spotlight before with your work with HIV/AIDS. You're now in the international spotlight with a leading proponent of this bill, although you want to see it change in certain key ways with other pastors. Someone walks into your church, homosexual man or woman. I mean, let's be as straight as we can. This is in the sight of God and all of our listeners. How do you feel to that? I mean, are you hateful to that person? Are you, do you want them out? Get out of my church. Do not come in these doors because you're a predator or you're going to defile someone. What's your heart reaction towards that people?
Dr. Brown, unfortunately, the people who are detractors would like to commend that kind of image. But I'll keep saying that the safest place any homosexual can be is in my church in Uganda, because we teach compassion. And I believe the church is a hospital, it's a school, it's a place of celebration. And in being a hospital, we treat our wounded. I have in my church, in my worship team, former homosexuals. My usher was a former spokesperson for homosexuals in Uganda. In fact, the reason why I took this issue on is because of the young people who come to me and they say to me, don't you know about the sexual abuse taking place in boarding schools? Don't you know about the rape that takes place when we are left alone with the bullies who sodomize us when we are sleeping and no one can help us? I can't help as a parent, as a pastor, to be moved to say something must be done to stop the escalate of rape and even those that seek to legitimate it. But I have stories. I have Paul Kagaba, he's a former homosexual. I have Sandra, she's a former lesbian. She got pregnant with a boyfriend, and the lesbians threw her out. Nobody could take her in. I called everybody that I could. Eventually, I took her into my house, and I've had her there for 2 months. In my home, I have two girls who have babies, newly born babies, and at my table, I have many people that sit down smack inside of my house at a great risk for me and my children. But we continue to show love because I believe church is both a hospital where we treat the wounded, it's a school where we train everyone, it's a place of worship and sacrifice, but it's also an army where we fight for God's war and be content for the truth, pulling down every imagination that raises itself against the knowledge of God.
Now, just to clarify, you mentioned a lesbian but pregnant with her boyfriend. So would she say she was bisexual, or what was going on there?
Well, what happened was this girl, she was 16. She's one of the classic examples of recruitment. She was in school. A group came over under sexual reproductive health. They told her, hey, you know, you really could be a man in a woman's body and you leave, okay? If your mommy doesn't accept, you can leave and join us. They ended up enticing her, laptop, iPods, money, took her over to their place. And they told her a lot of things they could do. Take out your uterus, take these drugs to make you more masculine. But she always had the sense that, you know, maybe I should try out with a man because I think I might be normal. And she ended up having relations with her boyfriend, and it led to pregnancy. When she got pregnant, they told her, you know, you can't be with us. You have to abort the baby. And she said, well, I can't. That's how the story ends up.
All right. 1 minute before break, gay porn, showing things. Did you have a display in front of children in your church showing what some homosexuals do in private?
Well, what happened was that we had a workshop on legislation where the members of parliament came. Number two, we wanted to make sure that our discussion are based in truth. Most ordinary people do not know what that was. So it was an adult-only session within the context of this meeting, and we had lessons on what the gay movement is like, what homosexuals do, because at the heart of it, it's we should not legislate against people. We should legislate against actions. What are those actions? And it was about two, three pictures that showed what homosexuals do, because they keep saying, what two people do in the privacy of their bedroom is no one's business. Mm-hmm. When a little exposure was done, there was such a response. People said, no, we do not want to legitimate this. This is not what we want.
All right, hey, let me just jump in. I didn't give you enough time to answer it. We'll come back to this. And when we return, I want Pastor Sempa to speak to us as Americans about what he thinks about our morality here. All right. Wish I had about two or three more hours to discuss these issues with Pastor Martin Sempa from Uganda. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. Our hope was that a critic of the Uganda bill would be willing to come on the air opposite Dr. Sempa and challenge him directly. No one was either willing to or able to, but we are going to get out this interview as far and wide as possible so people can listen firsthand and hear what Pastor Sempa has to say. So we've just got a few minutes left, and I do appreciate your time coming on the air with us. Just a few things quickly. I understand that you wanted to focus on homosexual behavior or certain acts and what is done in private. I mean, we have laws say against incest in private, so we understand that not everything in private is acceptable. Critics have said, though, that you showed things that were extreme and that were not the norm for homosexual practice, and that you could have just as well have shown extreme heterosexual sex acts. How would you respond to that?
You know what? I think unnatural acts done by anybody are still unnatural. If deviant acts done by anybody are deviant. I do not subscribe to people being gay. I subscribe to people who do homosexual acts. That's it. Mm-hmm. You cannot define yourself by your sexual activity. And God looks down on us. God does not love, say, I love gays. God loves people. God does not define people on the basis of their sin. God loves people regardless. That's full stop. And in this context, God doesn't say, I love alcoholics. I love pedophiles. God loves people, full stop. And we should not try to attach their sin to themselves. But really, I find a contradiction here. I find a contradiction. They keep saying church doesn't talk about sex enough. But here you are, we're talking about the issue of sex, and they are the same people who are always attacking us for not talking about sex enough are the same one who seem to have self-righteous mockery. Secondly, making comprehensive legislation without comprehensive knowledge really is ignorant, is what I would call homophobia. And I've been saying, how do we fight homophobia without legitimating homosexuality? But every day, I want to say, bro, in America, 3,000 babies are killed, not for what they have done, but just who they are. In Uganda, we have never had a single homosexual has ever been killed for homosexuality. Isn't it trying to fight at a speck in your brother's eye when you have a forest in your own eyes? So it's been really a clash as we look at either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama say this is an odious law. What about in your backyard? And I think we cannot trust the mainstream media, because they keep trying to redefine what really is the truth. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to come to your radio, the Truth Radio. And I just challenge American Christians, pray for us. Don't wait for Proposition 8 in California, where you are struggling for just defining what marriage is. We must contend for the truth. And we have an opportunity now to support our brothers and our sisters in Uganda with prayer.
All right, we've got 1 minute, little less, before we're done. Talk to pastors in America. Do you think that some of our leaders have compromised? Do you think that we have bowed down to social pressure and not stood up for what's right? Take 30 seconds and address that.
Absolutely. I think my friend Rick Warren's abandonment of us is a typical of many pastors who do not want to step forward and contend for the truth. I think that sometimes we must remember what Jesus said. You cannot be a friend of the world and be a disciple of Christ. Sometimes it's standing for the truth is going to make us look bad. I know Nightline made me infamous, but you know what? I would rather be infamous than receive the fame of being on Larry King Live and deny the biblical truth. And I challenge everyone, we would rather glory in the cross than be celebrated on CNN and walk away saying, what a great pastor. And that's the battle. I just challenge them, and let's stand together. Maybe God can use the dark continent of Africa to be prophetic about the truth that was handed down to us by the missionaries who came from here.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. You've heard it. Now sift it through and think it out.